I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 481. Mmm, sprinkles. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing, you know, I've had a week. We'll just leave it at that. I've had
a
week.
And, I had a week.
You know, I'm going to have another week, and it is what it is. But I'm working on being positive. And so that is a thing.
You keep striving.
You know, ooh. I've had coffee, I've had chocolate, and I've had fruit. So I've had like three of my major four food groups. And tonight if I have pizza, then I've hit the trifecta. So that will help.
That's what I want.
Right? Doesn't that sound like fucking delicious right now?
Yeah.
So this is what happens when you record podcasts around lunchtime. Anyway. Anywho, anyhow, we have a bunch of stuff to talk about. I am going to go first because I tend to do that because I think inherently I have just told myself that I am forever player one, so I go first.
Okay.
Which, you know, I try sometimes to let you go first, but I just have so much I want to talk about. And I want to get it out. I'm patient as fuck. You are, which is a good thing. It's why we work so well together.
I agree.
For the most part.
Yeah.
Right. So I have a couple things I want to talk about. First and foremost, before I get into any of the game stuff, there's a podcast that I've started listening to that I really, really encourage a lot of people to pick up. And number one, I'm a Daily Show fan. I think I've made that clear multiple times.
Abundantly clear?
Yeah. Like, pretty much, I love everything that is going on late night on Comedy Central. So, I watch Daily Show. I love Larry Wilmore's show. I love, love, love At Midnight. I just started watching Broad City. I know I'm late to the game on that one, but...
Oh, man. Hannibal Buress is my shit.
Like, I appreciate humor. And I also appreciate wit. And so you put those two things together and you basically have me hooked. Like, let me just be honest. Like, that's what I do. So the moment I heard that Jessica Williams, who is quickly becoming very high on my list of, like, queens to be revered... Okay. For her wit, for her comedy, I love her style, I love her approach to many of the things that she does. When I heard that she was going to have a podcast, I was, like, sign me up. Like, I was like, Jessica Williams, absolutely. I hope that she talks about her hair, being black in the industry, because she definitely gives off the vibe of being a nerd. I thought it was more on the drama side. But she and Phoebe Robinson just started a podcast called Two Dope Queens. Okay, you want to talk about black girl magic? This podcast is black girl magic.
Oh, now you definitely have made it so that...
Like, they are just... It's them rambling on about all kinds of stuff that pops up into their minds in no organized shape or form. They put it out as a video podcast and get it as an audio podcast. They have a page on Facebook, Two Dope Queens. Definitely check it out. I love their style. I love their honesty. It's so funny. You have to listen to this podcast.
Right,
I can't recommend it enough.
You don't have any words.
Seriously, I don't. I laugh. It makes me think. I love their delivery. Their both comedic gold. Definitely check out Two Dope Queens. Like, seriously, you need to do it. Like, I would, if you like Broad City.
And I do.
You need to listen to the Two Dope Queens podcast. And it's just so cool for me to be able to see and hear two extremely smart, very funny black women basically doing what I would like to be able to do, which is do a podcast and get paid for it, just being myself, talking about random shit. It's awesome.
One day, bro.
It's awesome. Okay. It's awesome. Definitely check it out. They debate all different kinds of stuff. They actually had a Patti LaBelle versus Anita Baker debate. Like, seriously, trust me, just listen to Two Dope Queens. It's tight. I can't say enough about it, and I would love to be on their podcast or have them on our podcast or just get, like, all of us together and do four Dope Queens. I'm okay with that. Because there's four queens in a deck. I'm just throwing that out there.
Oh, my God, yes!
There's four queens in a deck. Okay, like, I will...
Or actually, well, wait, who would be the black ones and who would be the red ones?
Look, here's the thing. We don't have to do those labels, okay? I don't care if I'm a heart, a club, you know, a spade, whatever. Like, I just want to be one of the queens in the deck, okay? That's all I want. That's all I need, okay? It's just let me be one of the queens in the deck. But I absolutely, absolutely love it. Okay. So that... is a recommendation that I have.
I've now added it to my queue.
Excellent. You will fucking
love it. I
will
listen to this when I have some time.
Yeah, seriously, you will.
And all about it, I know I'll be all about it.
Yeah, and right now they only do the cast like twice a month, you know, because they're writing, they're doing stand-up, you know,
Jessica's...
They're
busy. They're busy queens.
Yeah, they are. Okay, but it is absolutely, absolutely enjoyable. Check out their Facebook page because you can watch video of them doing the podcast. And their setup is so simple. It's just the two of them across from each other on a table with mics in between. And they're just having a conversation with each other. Like, I love it. I love it. I'm so glad. And I want other people to love it and explore it. So check out Two Dope Queens. It is fantastic. I absolutely adore that podcast. So on to the stuff that you're here to listen to and hear about. Let's talk about games. I'm not going to talk about anime this week. I will be talking about anime next week, though, because new season has started, so there's a bunch of new stuff that's popped up.
I'm going to interject you for just a little second.
So okay.
You dropped a little bit.
Okay.
Non, you know...
Recommendation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, no, it's not a super strong recommendation, but Sailor Moon Crystal's been out, and they just started showing episodes of season 3.
Yep.
That I finally got a chance to catch up on, because there's only about 2 episodes out as of right now, and yes.
Yes, why? Well, yes, because... No, you can't just say yes. You need to say yes. All right, why?
So here's why I'm already digging it. Because remember, a lot of people were like, oh, they're really kind of changing the whole lineup between that. Like, people had issues with the
what
first
lineup?
Season. So the way that that Crystal is set up is they're keeping stronger ties to the original manga. Mm-hmm. Which, if you didn't read, you don't know how things actually happen. Because if you watch the 90s version...
Which is what I did, although I have started watching the new Crystal.
Right.
In small doses, because I can only take Usagi in small doses.
Well, here's the thing. So, I mean, if you remember Usagi or Serena from the 90s, you know, super whiny, super crybaby, and clearly you don't understand how at the end of everything she gets a super hunky older boyfriend, saves the world... and, like, gets to be a fucking princess. Like, she doesn't...
She gets to be a queen at the end of it.
Well, I mean, yes. But here's this crybaby who doesn't really work for anything and doesn't strive for anything. And in the 90s version, she still does it through most of the first 2 seasons. It's not until the end of the second one that she's like, I should take this seriously. Very much like Panda during her 3rd year of the podcast. It's like,
right.
This is something viable.
I should actually listen when my sister talks
to me. Right, exactly. But if you read the manga, even though she does cry and she whines, that's not the strong definitive characteristic of Serena/Usagi. It's always just been that she's very supportive of her friends, and she loves everyone unconditional and is willing to find the good in everybody, even when it doesn't present itself right off the bat, which they do not do a good job in the 90s version of Sailor Moon. Because here's this ditz with these four other really amazing girls that all seem to, like, you know...
Yeah, I never got in the 90s version that she was supportive, like, of her friends.
No, or and they're really all kind of like, oh, that Serena, you're close. So dumb, or oh, Usagi, you never do anything right. Like, they made them really catty in the 90s version, which if you didn't know, you would, oh, that's how girls act. No, it's not. Not all girls are like that. And when you read the manga, which I read
the manga. Not all girls.
Right, exactly. I read the manga later on, and I was like, this is not the pairing and the Senshi that I remember. Like, in Crystal, they are following the manga a lot more closely, and the girls are not against Usagi. Like, they kind of want to help her succeed. And they come off as a stronger team in the manga and in Crystal. But, you know, nostalgia has its way of making people think that how you remember it is the way that it is, and that's not the case.
Right.
Now, mind you, in Crystal, they have decided to completely skip over the Doomtree series because it was kind of a filler arc that didn't make strong sense.
I don't even remember that.
After you know, Usagi sacrifices herself and, like, the whole world kind of resets and they don't remember being friends and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Two aliens show up, Alan and Anne, and they're kind of brother and sister, but they also have this really weird sexual tension that they never exactly explain in the 90s version. and they're pretty much just trying to supply energy to this tree because it's kind of what keeps them alive, essentially. And they're doing whatever they can to keep that alive and to be able to rebirth their alien like line. So, like, they're not necessarily evil; they're just misguided.
Mm-hmm.
And they really kind of just present a foil of love interest for Darien and Serena, or Usagi and Mamoru, or whoever you want to call them. So Anne is all about Darien, and Alan's all about Serena, and yet they're kind of an alien pair, and they love each other, but they kind of want a thing on the side. So, like, it's not linear to the story. It's really kind of like a side story that they could have just made a light novel and not included it when they did it back in the 90s. But the story really does take back up when Diamond comes and the Black Moon, which they show in the second season of Crystal. So they're following, like I said, the manga a lot more closely. And at the end of the Black Moon and the, you know, Black Lady arc in the manga, we go straight into Sailor Moon. I think technically it's S, if you go by the 90s version, where we get Neptune and we get Uranus and we get Pluto back and we get the introduction of Sailor Saturn / Mistress Nine, which then leads us into SS when we start getting Galaxia, which is where shit gets really real. And they have decided to follow suit, and now we're kind of in Sailor Moon S, and we're seeing the introduction of Neptune and Uranus, and they're playing it the way that they did in the mangas, where, and I appreciate this, because in the 90s version, when we finally got to see them, which was a ways away,
mm-hmm.
you know, they already had kind of established that, you know, the characters for Neptune and Uranus, they were cousins in the 90s version, and that's why they were super close. And yes, they kind of played off the fact that Sailor Uranus kind of looked like a dude, but they, you know, she was always like, yeah, I kind of look like a dude, but I'm a girl. But yeah. In the manga, because she hasn't fully awakened yet, or is, I think they're kind of carrying it as a facade, Uranus is acting and living as a man. So the voice is low, you know, and he's a race car driver, and girls are all about that. And Neptune is a violinist with her mirror, and she says slightly kind of creepy, foresighty things, which she did in the manga. Like, it's very true to their characters. And, like, they're always kind of together, and they always kind of say these kind of witty things. And, like, in my mind, like, they just have this, there's a connection, because clearly in the manga, they are dating. They are in love. Right?
Right. So,
and they're not hiding it in Crystal, which I appreciate. Because it will make more sense when they finally reveal that, you know, they're outer senshi and they've been brought here because of X, Y, and Z. And I don't want to spoil it if you haven't read the manga. Granted, It's been around long enough that I'm sure you guys kind of know what's
Yeah, at this point, it's not really a spoiler, other than for people who have never seen Sailor Moon.
But I appreciate that they're not trying to, like, kind of cover it up, and they're really kind of just letting it ruminate, and they're allowing the viewer to come to that conclusion naturally. Like, they're not like, oh, by the way, we're so madly in love. Like, it's not just like, hey, super girlfriend who happens to be a set. Like, it's not blatantly over the head. It's through the most subtle of things, and at least in this first episode, that I'm like, ooh, you guys are totally into each other. And you guys obviously trust each other and love each other, but you guys, they still kind of act like a married couple. Like, oh, I saw you were totally talking to that girl over there. And, it's, you know, are you worried? No. And, like, so the subtlety of it is so impactful for me.
Well, I've watched a chunk of Crystal. I haven't started the third season yet. That's up. I think midpoint into the second, and after like the introduction of those two, Venus was like having a hardcore crush, as was Mars. No, Venus and Jupiter.
Well, and that's the first episode of season three, so you've started it.
Okay, so I have. All right, so I have a hard time keeping track.
Like, they're all like, oh my god, he's so cool. And you're just kind of like, if you know the series, you're kind of like, that's a girl.
Right, right.
And like, you're in on the joke.
When you get past the race car thing, what do you call it? I can't remember if it's in that one. Yeah, I can't remember if it's in that episode or the following episode. They eventually get through their fight and everything, and the core Senshi, haven't figured out that they are the outer Senshi yet.
Right, no, it hasn't happened yet.
But so, like, at the end of the episode.
And, like, they're in the background, so you know right. It's that. You on the outside know, but they don't. Right. But they're playing it so well.
Well, I think it's that episode or the next one I think it's the end of that episode where it comes out that What's-Her-Face is a girl and not a boy. And she's like, I never said that I was a guy.
Right.
And, like, Venus's face and Usagi's face is like, huh? Yeah. And then Usagi's like, well, I have Darien. And Venus is just like, I have no one.
which I feel kind of bad. Well, I mean, technically, the Outer Senshi all did, just they died. So Mamoru's horsemen, the ones who were kind of taken over, they were all essentially the inner Senshi's, like, boyfriends. And then they died because, you know, stuff. But.
Right.
But I appreciate this.
You know, because stuff.
And don't get me wrong. Like, I enjoyed Sailor Moon R. I enjoyed that filler in the 90s. And if they decided to reapproach it, I'm sure in this style, it would also probably still work. But I also
the Doom Tree stuff that you were mentioning earlier?
Yeah. Okay. There was a lot of really good stuff that happened in that obviously because we don't have that connection to R and Crystal, they had to rush Sailor Moon getting her new locket. And they don't have the catalyst for her to now go into Sailor Moon S. Like, they won't have, I don't know how they're going to stage it because she already changes outfit and her locket and gets her different scepter. Like, she gets another one.
Yeah.
And it happens at the end of R into S. But because we don't have R, we don't know why all of a sudden her brooch is different and has wings. And now her bow's a little bit longer and she has the little things that sit in her, like those little clippies, like they mean something, but now we don't have the backstory. So unless you know it, you're just like, oh, I guess costumes just change. No, they don't. They all have reasons and purposes, but that's okay. Cause I'm just nitpicking. I appreciate, even though I loved Sailor Moon R and I will profess it to the day that I die, that I appreciate it. But I love the fact that they cut it out because we didn't get Sailor Moon. We didn't get Stars right away, Sailor Moon Stars. And we also didn't get the Galaxia arc until way later. And for one, by the time we got it over here, we only got it in sub. And you kind of had to go through your BitTorrents to get it because it wasn't approved through censorship and stuff. So we weren't going to get a localized version for America. So there's this whole other stuff that unless you read the mangas and were all about illegally stealing shit, which I wasn't for a while.
I was about to be like,
for a while, you didn't get any of that. Like, some people might not even know who the Starlights are or who the Dead Circus is or how Galaxia plays into any of it because she kind of plays a part in everything.
Yeah.
But some people don't know that, and they don't understand that, you know, she's really kind of like the black hole that absorbs everything, and people don't understand the severity of Mistress Nine and why she's so important to, you know, to Sailor Moon S. But they're already kind of showing it, like they gave us a precipice in this first episode, you know, of these dark seeds that are, you know, are causing reversion in people and are causing like all this negative energy that isn't obviously Beryl and isn't obviously the Doom Tree. And, you know, and the fact that it's kind of centralizing itself around Mugen, where if you've read the manga, you already know who sits there. I'm a little worried. And after this, we'll go into our video games, because at the end of season 2, we saw Pluto die. She died in that last fight, trying to get Chibiusa or Black Lady or whatever you want to call her to wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know, because she kind of broke the cardinal rule here a little bit.
But
she's not
dead. She's not dead.
No. There's a little loophole, though, because remember, Sailor Pluto is the guardian of time.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can't necessarily kill time, but she is so connected to the time stream that her abilities...
Nope has death.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't want to say that she doesn't have death, but...
No permadeath.
She doesn't have... Right. She can, in a sense, not die, because she's literally a descendant of Kronos.
Right.
So her abilities are not just, you know, there's a lot more to Pluto.
Time is not a linear thing.
For her. When this thing where she died,
but is not dead. She is like the Jesus.
Sort of. But the thing is, because she does die in the manga. It does happen.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen then.
Right.
It happens during the fight with Mistress Nine.
Right.
Which then it's revealed that she can't die, but mm-hmm. she has to kind of relive again.
Yes.
So when you see her again, she's younger.
Mm-hmm.
But she does grow back up. Like,
yeah.
she grows at an accelerated rate mm-hmm. than everybody else.
Because she's a Time Lord.
Essentially, yeah. But I don't know why they decided to move that. Like, I don't know why they decided to change
the... Here's the thing. They didn't, though. So I'm further along than you are, because she shows up as an Outer Senshi, and they are all... The Outer Senshi are all aware of each other. And
they always were.
And she's protecting the galaxy along with them. So she shows back up, fully grown, and you as the Watcher is like, wait, you died. Oh, wait, but you're not dead.
See, the
Time Lord thing. So she's back.
Now that bothers me, because in the manga, it was, like, she was really the first real big, oh mm-hmm. my god, she's dead. Like in that, because, you know, Usagi dies all the time through sacrifice of love and is reborn like Jesus. So she's already kind of got the Jesus going on.
There's a lot of the Jesus going on in...
Or the, oh no, everyone's dead. I'll just, you know, rebirth everybody because of the power of my silver moon.
Because of the love that I have for my friends,
I can reset everything. Right. So, I mean, the fact that when the Guardian of Time, like, it's such an impactful thing in the manga when she actually does die. And you see her dead. And then, you know, later on after the whole Pegasus arc, which I wonder if they're even going to show it in Crystal.
They are. I'm going to tell you right now.
I want them to.
I have a feeling that Pegasus will show up.
And Helios.
Just because it's too much fun with the chibi character for them not to do Pegasus.
Chibi also needs some love. She needs to stop, like, wanting to get on her daddy's D, because that's just kind of disturbing.
And here's the thing. Are you watching Crystal on Hulu, or are you watching Crystal on Crunchyroll?
On Crunchyroll, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm watching it on Crunchy.
So, yeah, so definitely check, because I'm...
Sure, you might be further along.
Yeah, I think I am, but...
They need to address the Pegasus thing, because, once again, it is the catalyst for change, and if you don't establish why a change is happening, people don't understand why it's important.
Correct.
But it's available. I'm glad that they brought it back, because I know some people were like, I didn't really like what they did with the first two seasons, so if they have another one, I'm not going to watch it. I'm glad that there were enough people who, like, I support all the decisions that they're making.
So, let's talk about the game stuff.
Okay.
I've been playing Quantum Break.
Lucky you! I haven't.
So I'll preface this with I was given a copy of the game for free to play.
For free?
For free! And I was like, yeah, I'll take a Quantum Break copy. Give it to me, baby. Be happy to do a review about it when I play it. So here's my quick knee-jerk reaction to the game, because I've only played through the first episode.
Okay.
So taking steps back, Quantum Break was one of the first games that Microsoft announced, working with Remedy for the Xbox system.
Now, I know all of us were hoping that it was going to be another Alan Wake game.
Wait, those of you who play Alan Wake,
Alan Wake fanatics.
Come on now, let's... What did I say about being specific and not lumping everybody into a single category?
For all of those fanatics like myself.
But unlike me, because I didn't play Alan Wake.
We're very excited for them to announce Alan Wake 2. And then they were like, well, we're retiring it for a little while. It's not gone, but just not right now.
But what we have is this thing. So, again, preferencing. This game was one of the games that was announced and presented when Microsoft first presented the new Xbox system. Okay, so it's been a while that this game has been in production, and it was designed to be a media platform experience. Now again, this is back in the days when the system was first announced and was going to be very, very focused on being a media hub versus a game station, which was a little bit of a misstep for the Microsoft, if you may remember, most of the press that they got, that E3. Whoopsies. Which they've been correcting from ever since. But it was designed to be both a game experience as well as a TV show experience. They were developing a actual 22-minute per episode TV show experience that was going to be a augmented experience from the game. So what ended up happening when Microsoft rolled the media experience went, actually, we're not going to create our own unique content a la Netflix, but we don't want to lose this feature of the game. They retooled the game, which pushed back its release. And when I say retool the game, they changed the story completely. They changed the lead character. They went back and did all new mocap for the game. And so it is a action-adventure, third-person shooter that has this TV show embedded in it. The way that you progress through the game is that you play through acts of an episode, and you have the butterfly effect in place, so yet another one, because, you know, Until Dawn 2, that's also a thing that's coming. More butterfly effects in your face.
Yay! I can't wait! I'm so excited!
But in Quantum, you basically play the character of Jack Joyce. First of all, I will say, the mocap in this game is great. Choices that you make in the game will have effect, and you will come across things where it will tell you that, hey, you're about to cause a ripple. And this will affect what happens in your game, and it will also affect what happens in the TV show. And it gives you the option to explore the two choices that you're presented. And it walks you through what can kind of be the result. And then asks you to confirm and lock in a choice. And once you lock in a choice, that's it. Based on the choice you make, when you do complete the episode, you are then presented with the actual TV show episode to sit through and watch. And so you can see the story unravel, and based off of the choices you made, see the consequences brought to life by the actors who are mo-capped in the game in the TV show. So it's a very unique experience, because first you play through, and it, you know, where it says that it is a action-adventure game, it really is on the level of the last Tomb Raider game. As far as, like, visually, it is a stunning game. One thing that I picked up very quickly was that the dialogue motions, you know, sometimes you get into a game and when there's dialogue, the mouth movements don't quite match up right. Mm-hmm. So your characters look like they're a puppet because there's like a half second delay on something, or a mouth doesn't curl the way you expect a mouth to curl when making that sound. There's none of that in this game.
Okay.
So it's not weird when you see these characters speak. And again, I'm gonna you know, put that up to the level of mocap that they did. The guy who plays Peter Baelish in Game of Thrones.
Littlefinger.
Yes. He is in this game. And he plays, oh, what the fuck is his name? Paul Serene. And so Paul is a scientist, and he's been working with Jack's brother Will on ultimately creating a time machine. They call it the Chrono something or other.
Okay.
Again, because I have only played through the first act, right? So I don't have all detailed-ish notes like I really should. But this is the knee-jerk reaction. I will have a full written review on the website as I get deeper into this game. But he's basically created a time machine, circular. So you move clockwise, you move forward in time, you go counterclockwise, you work backwards in time. And Will has determined that, hey, we really shouldn't fuck with time because we can mess things up. And actually, if we proceed any further with this, we are going to fuck the timeline. So I'm out. I'm not lending you any more of my brain power. We're not doing this. And Paul's like, no, we're fucking doing this. And as all this is going on, Will decides, well, actually, no, we're not. I'm going to take my research and I'm going to go. And you can't fire up this machine without me. So you're fucked.
Deuces.
And goes into hiding. But Serene really wants to get this weapon, and it is a weapon, up and running, because he's basically promised to the powers that be that have given all kinds of money to fund the project that it actually works, and wants to prove that it works, and so he can get his money.
Right.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, he decides that he is going to use Will's brother Jack to try and get Will to come out of hiding. And if he won't come out of hiding, then at least to use Jack to try and get the proof of concept working so we can prove that the damn thing works to get the money instead. So he sends Jack a first-class ticket because Jack's in Bangkok. Because Jack is not as brilliant as his brother.
I'm following.
By the way, Jack is played by Sean Ashmore. So,
oh, God, yes.
Right? So he gets him a first-class ticket from Bangkok to come back to their little podunk town to work on this project. And he's like, I'm really worried about your brother. I need you to come back. I'll foot the bill. But, you know, I don't want to get into specifics. Just get here. I'll fill you in on everything. Because what we're going to do here is going to be life-changing. And we need to do this. So he comes to the campus. And there are teens. And I say teens. The young adults. That are protesting on the campus against this group called Marnark. So Marnark is the evil, they're like Umbrella Corps.
Oh gosh, okay. Everyone's like Umbrella Corps.
Really, you always gotta have an Umbrella Corporation in your game. So they are this big monolithic company that it seems to be advancing society through science and technology, and they are headed up by Martin Hatch.
Okay.
Who's played by Lance Riddick. And you're like, ooh, but you're like, I don't know who Lance Riddick is. So he was Philip in Fringe.
Okay.
He was Cedric Dandles on The Wire. But most people know him as Matthew Abaddon from Lost.
Oh, that guy.
Okay. So he's what everyone believes to be the front man for Monarch. He's actually not. I'm not blowing any spoilers because this is all just in the first episode. Okay, he's not. As it turns out, Peter Serene is, because there's an accident, as there always is when you're fucking with science that you don't understand. Okay, and Peter Serene ends up, he thinks going into the past, he ends up going into the future. Turns out, bad shit happens. Surprise, surprise, Will was right. Comes back to the past and decides, I got a plan. And maybe Will will be down with it. And if not, well, then Will has to go because Will's the only guy who could really stop me. But basically what's happening, again, and this is all stuff that I just learned playing the first act, that when you fuck with time, you can actually break it. And breaking time is not a good thing for human beings that are lineal beings ruled by time. Like, you get a certain amount of time and then you die. But if you break time, then everybody dies. Whether it was their time or not. So with Fuck It With The Time, they broke it. So time's really, really fucked. Will thinks that he had a way to fix it, but gets killed, before he can get to the way to fix it. Like I said, his brother Jack, not as brilliant as Will, but because he was involved in the same accident as Serene, he is now affected by the chronoparticles. That's what I'm going to call it. They actually have a name for it. It's chrononotice or something. Okay, so I'm just going to call it, he got hit with the time sprinkles.
Okay.
So did Peter Serene. So as time keeps glitching, because again, time broken, so it just glitches sometimes, and some people and things get stuck in a glitch.
It's staticky, you gotta hit it a couple of times.
Well, if you are hit with the time sprinkles, you can, because you basically exist outside of time. So even though time is broken, because you exist outside of time, you're not broken, so it doesn't hurt you.
So it's like Schrodinger's time, it is and it isn't?
Right.
Okay.
So Serene's thought, is that he's going to basically make a time haven. We'll call it a lifeboat.
Okay.
And is going to invite certain people to sprinkle with the time sprinkles to allow them to exist outside of time.
Outside
so
time.
At the moment where time collapses and those people who
they're
are not
safe.
Right.
And everybody else is fucked.
So he's making basically a Noah's Ark.
Of people.
For selected people.
Got it.
That he's selecting to exist outside of time.
And I bet they're not all good people either.
So he, in fact, actually starts Monarch. Which Monarch is responsible for the accident that causes him and Jack to be sprinkled with the time sprinkles in the first place. So, he creates the organization that basically creates the collapse of time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Right.
And he has decided, and he's also suffering from a disease.
Oh, of course he is, because he's got to have a motivation to want to survive.
Because he went forward and backwards in time, he has fucked his system. So, he has this disease that he has to get treatments on. If he doesn't get treatments on, his mind
he
starts
dies?
To go to some funny places, and he could die. Or, he could turn... transubstantiate. I don't know. I'm only the first episode in here, people. Okay, but this is a lot coming at you.
That's still, right.
Okay.
That's a lot of information.
There's a lot of information coming at you in the first episode. And the episodes have three acts, because when you're going through a play, you have acts.
Yes.
After I completed the third act and made some choices, and I did finally get to fire some weapons. And there are multiple different types of weapons. I've just now started to encounter some of the specialty forces, which are also affected with the the time sprinkles. And they're hard to fucking beat. Okay, just the regular dudes, you hit them with a couple of volleys of bullets, and they're like, oh, I'm dead. But the fucking chrono guys, man, they can jump as much as you can. The first episode is really exploring and amassing the new abilities that you have as far as mastering time. So you can set up basically a bubble that is a shield that will protect you from incoming bullets. They slow them down, so it gives you enough time to move away from them while you're within the bubble, and it lasts for a short period of time, and you can build and find chrono skills to build that up so you can enhance certain skills. So there is a little bit of RPG built into it because you do have skill management.
Okay.
There is no weapon management other than just encountering new weapons that you can then just pick up and start using. So I currently have a primary weapon and a secondary weapon. Your secondary weapon is a pistol. Your pistol always, at least so far, always has infinite ammo. It does infinitely less damage.
Okay.
But it is a fallback, so if you run out of weapons and you can't pick up one from an enemy that you've downed, you at least always have some bullets, so you just may have to be extremely crafty in how you use your powers. Each of the powers that you have, so I have one that allows me to interact with something that's been hit with time sprinkles to either run it back in time or run it forward in time. It is a timed thing that happens. So, like, if a bridge collapsed, but it had been hit with time sprinkles, I could reverse the time to bring the bridge back into its form.
You know what this kind of makes me think of? And I doubt it. I actually really strongly doubt that the picture I have in my mind is what you think I'm thinking. So I just keep hearing time sprinkles.
Yeah.
And I just think of these two, our Peter Baelish and our super hot guy who I never remember his name, but he's super hot.
Sean Ashmore.
They're like two Tinkerbells. And they're just sprinkling this dust, opposing dust, to do opposing things. But, like, I just picture them in, like, little...
Well, it's not like, that they're sprinkling opposing dust. They're sprinkling the same dust. They just are doing it for two different reasons.
Right. But I'm just, like, I just imagine these little time fairies running, and
well,
I know I should...
they basically are, because they're not really, like, big buff dudes, okay? They're one's a scientist, and one... We don't really know, at least at this point, exactly what Jack's background is, but he's had to drop people in the past because when the first time he kills a guy to protect his brother, he's like, look, I'm not any stranger to guns. You know, I've had to get myself out of some situations. And he was in Bangkok, okay? So, you know, he's not, we don't really know what Jack has been up to.
So, I mean, I know this game is, like, highly suspenseful and dramatic.
It's extremely dramatic. It's, like,
all I see in my mind right now is, like, superly bad-drawn, like, time fairies and just sprinkling dust everywhere. And until I get my hands on it, that's what I'm going to
do. Yeah, you gotta do it, because it's more like... So, remember when you first played the original Assassin's game and you would have those breaks into time when you would end up popping into the Animus, and it would do that, like, weird blade cut thing.
Are you talking the very, very first?
The very, very first Assassin's game. So you'd have those translucent...
I didn't make it to the point where I got out of the Animus, because I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Okay. All right, well, when you have those blade cuts, you know, like, when you're going into the Animus from any of the Assassin's games?
Okay.
Okay? So you have those transparent, like, really hard triangles where it's showing you the fracture in time.
Yes.
That's the same way that they're represented in this game. They're just higher res. And so when I say time sprinkles, when you catch up to an area, it will actually highlight and let you know that, ooh, you could interact with this. And so you have to hold down a button press to run either time back, typically, to get the thing to a previous state, or forward. So as an example, in one area, there was a bunch of cardboard crates that were blocking me from getting through. So if I shot down this container that was being held above them, it crushed them all so I could jump the gap.
All right.
I mean, so I could walk through into the next area. When I got up the stairs to the next area, I realized I couldn't completely jump the gap. But for whatever reason, this particular area had been hit with the time sprinkles. So I was able to interact with it using my power and run time back and basically bring the boxes and the crate back up. But once I let go, time does move forward. And because in the present time they were crushed, it accelerates. So that's why it's limited in the run back. So if I wait too long, the thing falls and it gets crushed again. So you got to move quickly when you run back time. If you turn back time, you gotta move quickly, because time accelerates to get back to where it was.
If you're gonna turn back time,
yeah, so
you better get across that thing.
Yeah, so it's really, really difficult to attempt to wrap your mind around what's going on, because again, we're playing with time and time paradoxes, so that's fun on your brain, but yeah. I will say that right now, I'm struggling with the game in the camera and aiming aspect of it. Because a big chunk of this, again, it is a shooter. It is a third-person shooter. And I've been playing a lot of third-person shooter, Division, Destiny.
Right.
I'm kind of, like, really into third- and first-person shooters, like, a lot lately. More so the third-person ones. Here's the difficulty. The reticule for most of the weapons that I've used... It's really small. It's very difficult to keep track of on a large screen where you're aiming until you go into the deadlock aim, which is to pull the left trigger, which brings up the full compass-style reticule for your gun. Reticule, whatever you want to call it.
Reticule.
Okay. And when that pops up, I'm much better. But it takes me a while to see it because it is a super teeny tiny dot to see whether or not you're lined up to take
it's
a shot
the smallest
first.
Of dots.
And once you really pull that trigger, if you are anywhere remotely within eye shot of any character on the screen, which you can pulse. So just like if you've played The Division, you can use the health skill to pulse and see an outline of where your enemies are. You can do the same thing with your time abilities, which I don't understand how that works, but whatever. And you can see where your enemies are, as well as where items to help you could be, whether those are environmental pieces you can interact with to blow up, which might impede enemies, where weapon stashes are for you to re-up, either picking up a new weapon that's fully loaded or getting new ammo for a weapon that you already have. The moment you hit the trigger, the left trigger, to start focusing your aim, if you're remotely in vision, everybody on the map sees you. And immediately goes into action. And the AI is not dumb. They will flank you a lot. Everybody doesn't stay in their place and just shoot. And sometimes they'll talk to each other and say, all right, I'm flanking right, you flank left. And you're like, shit! And you can see it, and they don't move slow.
Of course not.
And so I have been flanked many a time. I have not been completely taken out yet, but I've been very close. Okay, because you're a person and you're not wearing armor, so while these guys are wearing armor and take a lot more bullets to down, you don't.
You're squishy.
You're squishy as fuck. Okay, so I do respect the AI, but because it is difficult to keep track of where my reticule is outside of the hard, direct, focused aim, and I had to tweak my sensitivity because, again, I have poor control in my right thumb because of surgery that I had on my right wrist, so I constantly have to keep adjusting the aim sensitivity depending upon where I am to be able to track appropriately to kill people. It's very difficult for me to accurately kill in this game as accurately I was killing in The Division or in Destiny. And when a core mechanic of your game is shooting, the shooting piece really needs to be on point.
Right.
So while I love the butterfly effect and the way that it's implemented in the game, the story is very intriguing. Not just the stuff that's in-game, but also the movie stuff. Because as you encounter different pieces of intel, which you can collect, it opens up additional side stories and videos that you can play. So there's basically like a whole season of TV show sitting underneath this game. So you basically have two seasons of a show because you have what you play through and what you do in the game. And then that affects what you will see in the TV show version that's now personalized to you. And you can go back at any point and replay a game and choose the other option and then have that version of the show become available to you to watch. So I played through and it took me probably a good 40 minutes because I was really finding myself and then trying to find the balance of the sensitivity and whatnot to play the game.
Okay.
And then I was presented with the TV show. So I put my controller down and I just watched this TV show unfold, which I made the decision to
blank blank instead of blank blank.
Yes. And okay. So that ended with one of the characters who really right. doesn't fit for Monarch. He's a good guy in a bad organization. Ultimately right. makes it the good guy choice. And results in this pretty cool car chase, which he really should have won. There's no way or reason, really, that he should have been caught because he was in a Nissan Z. Being chased by a bunch of Nissans that were not Zs, that were their crossover and SUVs, so there's no reason that they should have been able to catch him. As soon as he got on flat land, like, but whatever. But there was this really interesting car chase that ended with him getting caught in an alley, and that's how the episode ended. And so now I go into the next episode in the game to play that through to get to the next episode of the show. And I could have skipped it, but you really don't want to skip it because there are pieces of the story that are told through articles that you collect, intel that you collect, and then the TV show that may inform your decision making. So it's a very interesting experience. It is different than any experience that I've had in a video game before. But I will say that I do attack it and play it differently than any other game, because basically for me, once I complete watching the TV episode, I'm done with the game because I've now been playing for, you know, a couple of hours.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when I finish the TV show episode, like, I'm ready to put it down and go do something else.
And then come back to it.
Right.
Alrighty.
So I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to finish Quantum Break.
So when is it coming out for the rest of us losers?
So it's already out.
Okay, good. I'm gonna go buy it.
It came out on the 5th.
Oh crap! I'm 5 days behind everybody else.
Yeah,
that sucks.
Yeah. So it came out.
I know what I'm doing after this show.
It came out on the 5th, and a lot of people are really enjoying it. The PC version, however, quite a bit bonked. There's a chunk of issues, and I will definitely say that there are some controller issues in the game. Like, there are times where I'm like, all right, I'm going this way, and you think the character is going to go where you pointed them, but they get stuck on some dumb shit and just
Come
run in place.
Wall. They get caught.
I got my character stuck in between two cars of a train that... were not connected, so he completely should have been able to walk through them, but didn't.
Oh.
So I had to go the long way around them, and you're like, really?
Really, game?
Really?
I guess so.
Really?
I guess
really? So. Really? So there's some things like that in the logic that don't make sense, but I will finish Quantum Break.
After this break.
I will probably... And here's the thing, and this is the thing that I don't do. You know I don't do this, Panda, but I'm probably going to do it. I want to know all the story, so I'm probably going to go back.
You have a little bit of the collector fever.
I got a little bit of it. Not a lot. I got a little bit of it, but I want to know what the episode would look like if I had made the other choice. I want to know what the TV show episode would look like if I made the other choice. Not so much the gameplay, but I want to know what the TV show would look like, because, and this is a really... aggressive thing. Like, think about it. They got all these actors in and they recorded all these eventualities as a TV show.
Right. So they're all available for you to see.
So they're all in there for you to see. So as an example, I chose to make an example of a demonstrator and create a PR campaign to smear Jack Joyce in the game and paint him as the bad guy. I could have taken the hard line and tried to force a confession out of her and then killed her.
Oh.
And that cop that I said was, like, the good guy who's stuck in a bad organization.
Yeah.
Like, he was the one that was supposed to pull the trigger. And he was out and another guy had to do it and kind of gave him the skeevy eye of, like, what the fuck is your problem? And, you know, he has a wife to go home to who's pregnant. So, like, he really is, like, a good guy stuck in a bad situation.
It's like, sorry, it didn't say in my job description that I had to ice women.
That I had to ice college students. Like, she's a college student that they kidnapped.
Like, because, you know, she's young, it's a girl.
Yeah.
Like, I'll punch a dude in the nuts. Do you need me to stab some dudes? Like, I'll stab dudes. But college girls who haven't even had rad training? I'm on the fence about that.
So she's in the game, okay? And based on the decision that you make right here, okay, whether you take the hard line or you go the PR route, determines whether or not she stays in the game.
Or she doesn't.
Or she doesn't.
Oh, well.
And if she's not in the game, she can't be in the TV show.
Right.
Oh.
See? So, like, I like that you really do impact the TV show, and your choices do impact the game. They have real quantifiable impact. You know, it's one of the things that drew me to Heavy Rain. And frankly, if Until Dawn wasn't so gory and
it's not that
well.
Let
me first. Well, no. I've seen some of the deaths. Some of the deaths are really fucking gory. Like, when blow what's her face's eyeball out,
Emily.
Yeah. That's fucking gory. When Matt takes the fucking thing to the chin.
Yes.
Okay. So when What's-Her-Face gets her head ripped off and then it rolls around on the corner and then you see her eyes fall back down and it's bleeding out and then it gets...
Oh, Ashley.
Yeah. So tell me that's not gory. She did have it coming. Wait, no, Panda. She did have it coming. But I'm just saying, don't sit there and say it's not gory. It is gory. Okay.
Well, here's the thing.
If you get people killed...
It could have been worse.
Okay.
It could have been hella worse.
It could have been hella worse, but if you get people killed, it is gory. But the thing that keeps me from playing Until Dawn isn't the gore, because I've watched all the deaths multiple times. I'm like, but not like, oh my god, I think that's, like, affected me. The jump scares.
Which there are two really big ones in that game.
Okay, the jump scares are what get me. I don't enjoy them. They affect my person. That's why I'm not playing the game. Okay, I don't... That's just not physically my shit.
I can't wait until Dawn 2.
But I like stories where truly what I do in the game affects the game. So what I loved about Heavy Rain, it's what I liked about Life is Strange... And it's ultimately what I'm going to like and
I'm
love
still surprised
about
that
Quantum.
You did not sacrifice Chloe in that game.
No!
There were so many innocent people!
You know what? Oh. But guess what? Guess what? They didn't really show up and stick up for me. They didn't do shit for me. But Chloe did. So you know what? No, for once I'm going to be selfish. Fuck the little piece of the world. I'm going to have my little bit of happiness. Because damn it, I deserve it. After all of this shit.
I'm sorry, but I don't feel like the same type of decision that Joel makes for Ellie in The Last of Us can be applied to Max and Chloe.
Yes, it can. And I did. Because you want to know why? Because you want to know why? I fucking agreed with Joel picking Ellie over curing the world. Okay, but you don't really get the choice in Last of Us.
You don't.
It just does it, okay? But I'll tell you right now, if I had been given the choice, I would have absolutely made that same exact choice. Because you know what? After their adventure and everything that they've been through, Ellie, before getting to Joel, even before they did the DLC, and the DLC just sealed it for me, okay? But Ellie before she got to Joel, and Joel before he got to Ellie, they absolutely deserved to have... at least some semblance of happiness for them, for the shit that they had been through. The same thing applies for Max and Chloe. Chloe did not have a whole lot of good going on in her world. And neither did Max. Like, nobody was friends with Max at school. She was constantly being picked on and bullied on.
I didn't have a lot of friends in high school, and look at how self-actualized I turned out.
Yeah, you still have some issues, though. But, okay... For all those things, if you give me... And then actually going through all that shit with the skeevy fuck... Spoiler.
David.
Skeevy fucking teacher. David. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking about Life is Strange.
That was, Oh, God. I don't even remember his name because he wasn't even worth...
Was it, like, Brett or some shit?
It was Mr. Caulfield, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So, skeevy fucking teacher. Okay.
No, Caulfield was Max's last name. Sorry. Peterson.
I don't know. Anyway, but having a skeevy fucking teacher who's kidnapping, pretty much raping, and then killing people.
I don't think he raped them.
I'm pretty sure he did.
I just think he put them in weird poses, took pictures, and then killed them.
I'm pretty sure he did, actually.
No, I don't think he raped them.
Well, you can think that, but this is what I think, and therefore informed my decision at the end of the game. After all of that, having to go through all of that, Max deserved to have some fucking happiness. And you know that she would have been wrecked. Wrecked. Okay, killing Chloe to save a town where the town wouldn't know about it.
Did you not play it the other way to see what happens if you do choose to sacrifice Chloe?
No, I didn't play it the other way. I didn't have to. I made my decision. Fuck him.
Not to mention, it's not like the game wasn't teetering with you for the...
The game cheated with you the whole time. But no, fuck him. Fuck Arcadia Bay.
I'm sorry. I love my best friend. If my best friend was the reason for all this other shit in this town with... Granted, now there was some shitty shit that was going on in this little town.
Uh-huh.
I'm not diminishing that in any capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But if my friend comes to the realization that it is because of her existence... that all these other horrible things are happening to people who it doesn't deserve to happen to, and then comes into the realization that she needs to sacrifice herself and then becomes okay with that, I don't have a problem with that.
Will if she want to sacrifice herself, but if I got to be involved, no, bitch, I'm not cutting you.
I'll do it. Where's the plug?
I'm not cutting you.
I'll do it.
Let's go to Vegas. Bye, Arcadia Bay. You didn't do shit for me.
You didn't even get to go ape with Warren.
Okay? Fuck all y'all. I'm a runoff with Chloe. And we are going to have ourselves a fantastic kissy FaceTime.
Oh, bro.
In Vegas.
I know we're related, but sometimes I wonder.
No, we're related, but we're our own people. Okay, we're not going to agree on everything. And this is just one where we absolutely disagree. Because I was like, fuck them. Let's go, like, Chloe.
I was like, Chloe, I'm like, I'm really sad I'm doing this, but all these people and your mom.
Nah.
Like, come on.
No.
I was like, let's walk into this darkness together, Chloe.
Fuck the diner.
And then I went ape with Warren. What?
Yep, nope. Fuck the diner. Warren's cute.
Fuck your
Chloe's
mom.
Chloe's hotter.
Fuck your mom.
Fuck the diner. Fuck the junkyard. Fuck everybody who was mean to me.
That wasn't everybody.
The only character in the game that I like probably would have saved the city if maybe I hadn't gotten her killed was the Bible bitch who was getting I couldn't remember the verses in order.
Oh.
And I didn't want to pause the game and be like a punk and look it up. So I'm like, no, I can do this. I paid attention in catechism school, but I didn't get the order right, and she jumped. So if she had stayed alive, I might have thought differently, because there would have been at least somebody in the town who was like,
rest in peace, Kate Marsh.
You know, that had my back, but unfortunately, Kate died. So
that you could keep from, like, horrible things happening to her. Oh, I'm imagining you didn't do that. Never mind, then.
So my Max didn't have anybody really to save the town for, except for Chloe, and to save Chloe had to fuck the town. So fuck the town.
You didn't save Kate Marsh.
I didn't save Kate Marsh.
And you didn't bond with the fat girl. Okay, then.
No, I didn't bond with the fat girl.
Because there's like 8 instances in the game where something horrible happens to her. Like, she gets hit in the face with a football, or she gets splashed with
I stopped her from getting hit in the face with a football.
You could do it several more times, and at the very end, she's like, man, Max, you're always there right before something horrible happens to me.
Yeah, no, I didn't. Thank you. I didn't do that, no. I stopped her from getting hit with the football, though. So there was nobody in the town for my Max to worry about, so fuck the town.
All right, then.
I
made friends with everybody.
See, and again, it's just that we had different journeys, sis. Okay, you had more positive going on in the town for your Max to make sense for your Max to save the town first.
Right.
I did not. So I did not.
Apparently not.
And after I got my ending with Chloe, I was like, I'm good. So I didn't go back and get the other ending. I could see it on YouTube, so I didn't have to go back and get it. And it didn't. And the game didn't make me want to be a collector in that way to go back and get it.
All right.
But see, Quantum does. And it's because of the TV show underneath. If it was just the gameplay and it'd be like an extra FMV at the end of the game, that'd be one thing. But because it has this live-action TV show in it, I want to see the other endings in the show. I want to see the other version of the show. So I'm probably going to go back, and I shouldn't say probably. I'm going to go back when I finish the game and get the other choices. Because I want to see what the TV show ends up being. So that's my initial jump into Quantum Break. I would recommend right now, if you're going to pick it up, definitely pick it up on console.
Oh, I will.
Do not get it on PC. I'm not hearing really positive things from my community about how it runs on PC right now. Right. So, unless you have like a ridiculous Alienware or Falcon Northwest or Razer system, or one that you built yourself that has a ridiculous amount of VRAM, RAM, and can actually run and has connected a 4K monitor, there really is no reason to attempt Quantum on the PC. Just get it on the console.
All right, I know what I'm doing.
I have no problem with it running at 720p. It looks just fine at 720p.
All right.
We are out of time.
Yep. That's okay.
But we've talked about a lot. Make sure that you hit up our website, electricsisterhood.com. You can catch our podcast there. You can check out all the stuff that the team is writing about, games, anime, more video, movies, even tabletop gaming. We talk about, if it's nerdy at all, we talk about it on our website, electricsisterhood.com. Make sure that you get our podcast. You can listen to it right there on the web. You can hit up our feed and subscribe in iTunes. You can do it through the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device. You can also get our podcast in Stitcher Radio, on Google Play, and we're featured on VogNetwork.com, so definitely go over there. Check out some of the amazing shows that are on Vogue, as well as our own. You can listen to them live. We are on Tuesdays right before Anime Jam Session, so it's a great, great evening of nerdery if you want to check it out. We highly recommend it. Also, check out the other amazing sites that are part of our network, our family, that's B3Crew.com and the No Borders, No Race podcast, which is technically celebrating its 10th anniversary this year as well. So big ups to KBD. From the college radio show to the internet. It's been 10 years for No Borders, No Race. So big ups and congratulations to KBD and the crew over at B3Crew.com. Definitely make sure that you check out the site there. Also, be sure to check out Smash Rook, our homie Hamsterman holding things down, including live streams every Wednesday of various games that he's playing. We're so happy to have him be in the family, and it's a really, really, really fun stream and fun site. So make sure that you check him out streaming live on Twitch on Wednesdays, typically at 9 Eastern, but also at 8. So make sure that you check out Smash Rook on the website to find out when the stream's going live. And also check out our Facebook page because we post it there. So you can check the live streams. It's pretty sweet. Also a part of our family, and man oh man, we are so glad to have them. NerdCrave.com. Absolutely love these guys. If it's anime, manga, comic, gaming related, trust me, they are talking about it at nerdcrave.com, so be sure to check it out. I love their featured heroine articles. They are so cool to check out and really get to learn more about various female characters in games and in comics and in anime and their backgrounds, and maybe get to learn something new. So make sure that you check them all out. The Esh family is strong. The Land of Esh is a fantastic community. We're glad to have you be a part of it. So interact with us on social, facebook.com/landofesh, or at ESH News on Twitter. Ask us a question. Let us know what you like and that we're writing about. Share our content. Introduce us to your friends, or even recommend something for us to review, preview, or just say, hey, I think that you guys should look into this because it could be pretty cool. You never know. We may check it out. We may talk about it on the podcast and give you a shout out. We may put it up on the website and also give you a shout out. Like, interact now with us. Because we love hearing about what you want to hear about. And so keep it going, guys. If you've got questions about anything, shoot them our way, too. If we don't know the answer, we'll find an answer. But we promise you, we won't make anything up except, like, what we're eating at the time that we're doing the podcast. So, with that, it's the time of the podcast when I give an award. And the award for most patient, while your sister goes off on mad tangents, goes to
Pandalicious. Actually,
wouldn't it go to you? No, because I jumped in on every single damn tangent, and you just sat there and took it like a champ while I opened my mouth for pretty much this entire podcast.
Well, I mean, you had more knowledge than me, so I have to thank a knowledge base, first and foremost, because if I don't know shit, I ain't gonna talk like I do. Secondly, I want to thank you, Ninja, for one, being that knowledgeable so that I can walk away feeling like I have more knowledge on subjects. I also just want to talk, I want to give thanks to a really comfy chair, because if you don't have a comfy chair, you're not going to just sit and let things happen because it's going to hurt your butt. And I also want to thank calm weather, because if the weather weren't calm, neither would I be.
Well, there you have it. Until next time, folks, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out.
Bye, everybody.